Anyway, right, talk to walk. Now, where are we going today?
Hyde Park Corner.
Yeah. London Stories.
I've never seen anything like it in my life.
BBC London 94.9.
You're listening to BBC London 94.9. Call 020 722 42000.
Big George.
This weekend that won't cost you anything. In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.9. We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys are there to be seen. Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.9. My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating. Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.9. And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oi! How you doing, John? All right?
Not bad, not bad.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Let's not talk about any issues with taxis, because you're here to do Talk the Walk with John the cabbie.
We got a 36-hour walk tonight.
I tell you what, the other night when I went down to Petticoat Lane, I got in there, they done a terrible thing to me.
Go on.
As I was driving in, Tony, a mate of mine, Tony, was driving us in there, and like, without telling me, he gave me two rings and then rung off. And as we pulled into Petticoat Lane Tier, all these cabbies come out and go, whoa! And they're rocking the cab. And I thought, oh, here we go. And so, it's all right. Anyway, right, talk to walk. Now, where are we going today?
Hyde Park Corner.
Now, we've done this before.
We've done it, but I think it's worth a revisit.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, because it is that... Do you know what? I was there tonight, and it's that impressive. It really is. And I thought I took 20 photographs, and I've just downloaded them on my laptop. 145.
Good gracious.
Yeah, because,
man.
You know, all of a sudden you're looking for that ultimate shot, you know, of something amazing, and there it is, just amazing it is. And what was nice, it was nice to see some tourists in London taking an interest in the monuments and statues that exist here. But what was more interesting was the walk to Hyde Park Corner.
From where?
From Piccadilly. No, the...
Well, along Piccadilly.
I was at Piccadilly, I'm trying to remember. What's the cafe, the rock thing?
Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, Hard Rock Cafe. God, I forgot. I just parked there. I'm on that side of Piccadilly, the north side of it. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's a little subway.
Yeah.
I walk through it. As you go through the subway, it starts telling you the history on the tiles of Wellington.
You're joking.
No, it's all there.
See, I've never been under there. I know the Hard Rock Cafe, I've walked there, and I've been. I've never been under there. So that underpass
tells you the local history. So what did we find out down there? We found about Ashby House, number one London.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it called number one London? Would you believe it was the right side of a toll gate at Knightsbridge? So it was number one London.
So that was the original congestion charge.
Yeah, we used to have a toll gate there. Right. Yeah, or London, yeah. So, I mean, so there was a toll gate there at the Knightsbridge.
Right.
And that was the inside. And so it got the address number one.
Right.
How fantastic. Built by Robert Adam between 1771 and 1778, acquired the popular name number one London, as I just said to you.
So those gates, they're the toll gates that are next to that building?
Oh, no, that's just some what happened afterwards.
Right.
That was there. But, I mean, the toll gate would be where, like, Knightsbridge is now, like where you could say the underpass, just to the west it would be, mm-hmm. of the actual house. I mean, because that would have been the centre of London. So we have had tolls in London. We've got one down in Dulwich still, haven't we?
Yeah.
The God's Gift of Dulwich on the College Road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, it's a way of removing traffic. And it charges you, what they charge now, £1 each way.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
That was 20 pence return in those days.
In those days. Yeah, but let's not talk about how old you were,
anyway,
mate.
Wellington got this house, he did around 1817. Enlarged it, the property, to express his status, and enriched it, he did, with his collections of paintings, silver porcelain sculptures, and unbelievable furnitures.
Mm-hmm.
Its interiors meant to be second to none, and it's now, obviously, the ancestral home, the Duke of Westminster. What a lucky, lucky man, that's all I can say. But this underpass...
Does he live there on his own?
He does actually live there, yeah.
Right.
I mean, we talk about Park Lane. I mean, that's been there. It used to be a narrow road, it was, that was bounded by a brick wall, which enclosed Hyde Park. 1820s, it turns out that Decimus Burton's Hyde Park Corner entrance, the bit you were talking about now that you see in My Fair Lady, where they used to trot along with the old guards and the landed gentry their day, and they basically put the gates up and the railings, and then Park Lane became very fashionable. The residents have been rich and famous. Park Lane was celebrated, we're talking about in works like Thackeray and Trollope, and it's now just unbelievable. Richest land owned by the Duke.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and he owns that bit of land that American Embassy sits on. So, and this is underneath this little underpass. You can't believe we got the stories, we've got the history, we've got these wonderful drawings on tiles, and very little graffiti. One bit of graffiti, quite insulting. I'm not even going to talk about it. Annoyed me. I did try to rub it off. Couldn't. But anyone that's walking through there might see it. It was just an insult beyond an insult.
Right.
And, you know, it was a bit upsetting because there
did
was
did you report it?
Was no one reported to, it's the annoying thing, you know. But I mean, I probably will actually write to Westminster Council. I mean, yeah. I'm normally emailing them over other things, so I'll let them know. It's only a little bit, but it's just annoying. Piccadilly, I didn't know this, a Piccadilly's, a kind of stiff collar.
That's right.
That was in vogue at court. Nobleman's houses were built in 1670, Burlington House, Clarendon House, Berkeley House, the building of Astley House, but that's how it gets the name Piccadilly.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Fantastic.
Because that was like country estate round there,
well,
wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And that's why, you know, when you look, we're talking, if you go back before that, yeah, we're talking this area was hunting ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because London was the city of London. Yeah. You know, it's grown out from the centre.
And Hyde Park, Park Lane used to just be the south carriage, didn't it? The carriage, yeah, that goes south, yeah, and Hyde Park would go right up to that edge, didn't it? Is,
yes,
that right?
That's correct, yeah. That's why you notice the gardens in the middle now.
Yeah.
Beautiful gardens, and how they walk with them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they do a great job there. They really do. I mean, there was talk, isn't there, of putting a tunnel under there and grassing that back over.
Yeah, I can't. But,
well, I mean, you know, I mean, I think we've got Crossrail now, so...
Have we? When did that come in? I didn't see that getting open.
We've got Crossrail. We're not getting anything else. That's my point. I don't think we're going to be doing any more tunnelling under London for a while. I think it's just
I think they've got 4 foot so far, haven't they?
Yeah, well, there actually is one station already built for Crossrail.
Right.
That's down at London Wall Moorgate.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually there. The station is, the carcass is built.
Yeah.
When they're built, there's a tower block there underneath it. The station's ready. So it just needs, let's hope they don't miss.
Yeah.
We get there.
Why don't they call Thunderbirds and get the mole to do it?
It's there.
Yeah.
When you get there, where is it? We're 1 degree out or something. You could just imagine it. But if you want to hear, you want a quick synopsis of his life,
yeah,
walk through it, get to Hyde Park Corner, then walk straight back down. That's the order you have to do it in. So when you come from the Hard Rock Cafe, Piccadilly to Hyde Park Corner, you get it in reversed order. So you need to go to Hyde Park Corner, then come back. Starts off with a silhouette of the man. They got the picture there, the famous one of him, the Wellington boot.
Mm-hmm.
Some other pictures of him meeting at the Prussian army, it had been at the time, wasn't it? At Waterloo, shows him. Actually, quite nice drawings, though, paintings, you could say. You know, the fact they're done on tiles, I'm impressed. Anyway, you come up out of the ground, you come up these stairs, and you are now in the Amphitheatre of Monuments.
Yeah.
And the first monument you're going to come to is Wellington's monument himself, which is him on a rather large plinth, guarded by a number of troops. It is four different groups of troops, it'll be. He's on his horse, looking very regal, looking very, well, prominent, looking down at you.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose he can, because of what he did and what he accomplished. He was a great politician, great military man, and I think, in a weird way, probably is one of the few people that can afford to be on a plinth. You know, and he is guarded on each corner. So I can live with him being on the plinth,
yeah,
because he's so significant. And then it's a different angle. I come at it from a different angle last time we were here, and I've got a totally different perspective today. Because it was early morning when I went there last time. This was early evening, and it was quite good sunshine tonight, you know. And it it was nice to see plenty of people about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, nearly getting knocked over by cyclists coming through the middle, and that, you know.
I've been over there three times now.
Yeah.
You've done it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is amazing.
You know that Wellington Arch?
Yeah.
A friend of mine said there's a function room there.
There is, that's correct. You can hide it out. You can. You can actually go upstairs to the balcony. You can.
Mm-hmm. And walk around and how much do you reckon it costs?
£3,000
a pop.
That's not bad for where it is.
Yeah, but that's no Twiglets or booths.
Yeah, no, you got to do all that yourself, haven't you? But that's not bad considering the venue.
Considering where you are, if you want to impress,
yeah,
I got a party where Wellington Arch. You know,
oh no, you're going to impress you.
That's going to be better than a hostess trolley, isn't it? Full of olivants.
Yeah, totally. I mean, but the guardsmen there. The what's important about Wellington? What 1769 is bald. It was 1852 he lived till. We have on the corner. You know, it's the man in the kilt. Obviously, kilt Scottish 42nd Royal Highlanders. He's representing. He's got his big old musket with a bayonet. Then we got the I think it's the first of the guards. It just says the guards. And again, I looked at the buttons to try and work out, but this is very, very much a, we're talking, what, 18th century here, 19th century army. So, well, 19th century would be. So I couldn't work out the buttons on the tunic then on that individual. And then we have the 6th Enniskillen Dragoons. And it's just the hats you denote them by. And this man hasn't got a musket now, he's standing by his sword. And these are on the corners of the plinth.
Yeah.
The big marble plinth he's sitting on. And so these particular units must have been very loyal to him to be honoured like this.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, this is what... Remember when the Queen Mother was lying in state, even? You have the like that honour guard in the corners.
Yeah.
And then we have the 23rd, I think it is, Royal Welsh Fusiliers. And again, these have got a big... This guy's got a big lance. So, you know, it's like, it's interesting the different weapons they've even got. But the detail on the statue's second to none. Everything's there, including the undercarriage and horse. That's a bit...
I mean, these old statues, you know, the ones that have been there for, you know, for over 50 years, they're faultless, aren't they? You know, you never see a bit of modern art. You never see saying, ooh, I don't know if I like that or not. These are all representations. And all the little folklore about, you know, how many hooves are off the ground if it's on a horseback, what it means. You know, there's certain protocol. I love that.
Yeah, well, you get it with the four down means you didn't fight in war.
Mm-hmm.
If two up, it means I think you were defeated. One up, it means you were victorious. Or was the two. Because all we do with the charging and the pulling back. There is a protocol there. Now, the next one that will catch you, because we're going to leave the big arch in the middle for the moment, because it's just so dominating, that is, that does dominate this. Wherever you're looking at, you end up looking back at Wellington's arch, you do, the big arch, the Hyde Park corner. But the one you will notice is to your right from where we are, which is the one to the Royal Artillery. And coming at this angle, you will come to the spookiest statue you'll find, which is the dead man representing death at the end of this. And he, and because of the angle I've come at, I've got his feet at me. I'm at this corner. I'm just staring at a pair of dead men's boots there.
Yeah.
He's lying there with his Tommy hat over his head, his coat placed over him. And, you know, it's just like the feet are just angled as if they're lifeless. And it's very... I mean, this is a bit... It's quite moving, actually.
Yeah.
And then beneath him...
Can I just say, the reason I thought that was moving is that it was... This was a fallen soldier... And his buddies would have said, "All right, let's just, you know, let's just cover him up because we've got other things to do." So they wouldn't have had time to bury him, and, you know, and put him in a box and do all that stuff. This was like someone had gone down. This is how they'd have done it respectfully in the heat of battle, and you know, so it's like you're looking at something that would have been there.
Hmm.
This isn't sort of like some, you know, like you know, mythology. It's what I think about the statue, and then you see the other soldiers on there,
that's
and you think,
correct. Oh, no,
you're having to walk 18 hours with all that kit on.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because underneath that dead man is a roll of honour to all those that died and have never returned, and it just says that, but their glory will abide forever.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a roll, a scroll underneath him. And that's actually really moving. Now, what's important about this monument isn't just the howitzer up on the top. And it's a World War One howitzer. You'll say a short barrel gun that would throw one hell of a charge. It would, like a you know, ammunition. It would. I mean, it's, you know, you can just see the angle. Like it's 45 plus. So this is coming up. It's one of those ones you hear it go, and when it goes silent, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And it comes to the other end. You've got the royal crest above the dead man. It talks about the 1914, the 1919 Great War, obviously on the other end. But we move round, and then you'll see set in the stone. It shows the struggle of men turning a wheel on a cannon, moving, the horses bucking up, but a horse like literally looks like screaming at his eye, and other men, one man with his head in his hands. It's telling you a whole story of the Royal Artillery, the struggle, the trouble, the strife through mud, you know, I mean, to get to peace in the end. That's what we're aiming for. We don't want to destroy things. We want to kill people. But they are aiming at, in the end, it's on a tank regiment memorial in Whitehall Place, and it says through mud, through blood, to the green fields beyond. And it's the only statement ever I've ever heard to justify a war, that you're actually trying to get somewhere better than where you are now. And this monument does it for me. I think this is the finest, finest monument you'll come across in London. Yet you just go past it if you drive out in the traffic. Most people.
There's
don't
one other that you've mentioned, which is the fighter pilots one, scrambling.
Yeah,
that's another one.
Yeah, Battle of Britain on swing back
menu. Because it's also when you're looking at this. See, one of the things that when you're talking about war memorials, we always equate war and the Second World War and the First World War with, like, you know, Harry Patch, 113 and stuff, and you know, and people in their 70s and 80s that were in the Second World War. But no, we're actually talking about 21-year-old, you know, 18-year-old boys. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, like the commander, you know, the wing commander of a bomber squad would have been 22.
We're talking about young men who, you know, let's be honest, if we're really honest, probably out, and we've been moaning about them in other instances.
Yeah, yeah.
Drinking too much, you know, or something.
You know, these are people that were gone out of there as virgins, you know, and before you know it, they're suddenly coming under fire, and they've got a turn of, you know, a 4,000 or a 4-ton gun around in the mud so they can fight back. It's amazing, you know. And I remember talking to someone who was in a bomber squad, and he used to say it's like it was 12 hours in a freezing cold rattling tin being shot at for a bit, then hoping you had enough fuel to get yourself back. You know, and all it was to do was to get somewhere, open up a door, and then get back again, and that was it. And that was, it's unbelievable.
And incomprehensible, isn't it? I mean, we don't know how lucky we are.
No,
but we don't have to.
And what's I have seen, because I've driven around this nowhere near as many times, but you drive around this all the time, don't you? You do see a lot of people going here, and you do see a lot of respect, and I'm shocked about you.
On this side, I met a young lad today, must be no more than 5 and 6, and his father.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably same age as me, a bit younger maybe. And he was sitting by the man who's in the shape of the crucifix.
Yeah.
Because that's the man you see on the west side.
Yeah.
With his Tommy's hat. He's got a coat on because it's raining. He's got a whip in one hand, obviously, to move horses. You know, not in, you know, look, that's cool.
They had no choice.
Yeah, and they got chains then where they'd be pulling. And he's just there. And he actually is. I've done a bit of research on this monument. That's in the shape of a crucifix, the guy. That's why he's got his arms out. And it's represent like the crucifixion is like, because it's probably hell. And then the guy on the end then is just purely in respect at the end of the actual monument. And then the guy then on the east side, the soldier, because now there are inscriptions, like I said, there's a story being told around this. You've got to get down here to look at it. The pictures, I don't mind saying it myself, I've shot some stunning pictures here for once. These are worth a look at, so please do log on if you'll look at them. I've got up close and personal to this monument. I didn't, you know, I don't want to stand too close because I think you've got to pay your respects to these type of things. The man at the end is very sombre, head slightly tilted with his coat over him, and you see his like bag and his Tommy's hat. But then the soldier on, or the artilleryman on the eastern side, is wearing like an overcoat that carries shells. You see, he's carrying the shells. That'd be his job. And you think, well, that would be his job, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, George, look, I'm not going to say it. Look at that shot. I'm sorry. Even for me, that is not bad, is it?
No, I know. And these photographs will be on freelondonevents.com.
.co.uk, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
freelondonevents.co.uk. UK,
with a podcast of the show, obviously.
Right.
But, and then it's got all the...
By the way, that is a beautiful picture, John.
Yeah. You know, it is. I mean, I surprise myself sometimes. And that it names just some of the countries we're talking about where they have actually fired shells.
Like, yeah.
We're talking Abyssinia, Somaliland, Eritrea, Sudan, Madagascar, Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Sicily, Italy, Yugoslavia, India, Ceylon, Burma, Malaya, Singapore, Sumatra, Java, Hong Kong, the high seas. And that's only one plaque. And, you know, and that's obviously because of world wars, why I've ended up in so many places.
Yeah.
I'm not glorifying war. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What I'm saying is ordinary men, like I've always said to you, the two H's, the honourable and the ordinary, go to war.
Yeah.
And then people get left behind, and that's at home and on foreign soil. And this monument, it does do it. It really knocks you for six. And I walk away then, I'll be honest with you, because you do get upset.
Yeah.
And I think, thank God for that angel. I turned round, and this is how weird life is. The sun's behind me.
Yeah.
It's setting in the west, and there she is in her full glory. I've got a blue sky behind me.
Yeah.
Or behind her, and there she is with her wreath in one hand and an olive branch in the other, and then I can see the horses because she's the angel of peace pulling back the chariot of war. And guess what I've noticed?
What?
There's a little boy actually in between
the
two horses. There's a little boy's head. Yeah, there's a boy actually. She ain't holding the reins. She's not holding the reins to the horses. He is. There's a little man or a little boy there. I was quite surprised at that now. And she's up on the top, and that arch is amazing. The architecture here is just beautiful.
It certainly is. I mean, really, it is one of the most beautiful arch. As you said,
the gates.
Yeah.
and you can just, you know, and like I said, bang in the middle there between the horses, this little boy's head,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's quite amazing. And the idea that you can get up there, right at the top, but she was put there. We didn't want to go to war again. It's quite significant why she's there. It's Wellington's arse, but Wellington used to be on there, but he was removed. She was then placed. And that was sort of, you could argue, that's a political statement, isn't it? We don't want to go to war. It's death, it's destruction. It costs money as well. Let's be honest, it does cost money. It costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of lives. It causes problems. It breaks families up. It destroys families. It destroys people. It destroys nations, it does. And then yet, we put that statue up on top of an arch, and then within, what, 30 years, we're back in the First World War.
I know.
And you see, it's like an economic crisis, I think. We repeat the mistakes of the past.
And it's the craziest thing. And, you know, and like people might say, and we're still in the same position now, you know, because we've got boys, you know, 206 young men and women have died in Afghanistan alone and stuff. Anyway, John, let's carry on talking about Hyde Park Corner.
Yeah, Hyde Park Corner. Well, I mean, let's have a look at it anyway. You can go through that Triumphal Arch. What you'll come to is these two massive, massive painted green gates. What's important about the gates now, when you get to them, is have a look at the Royal Crest,
mm-hmm.
the Lion, the Unicorn. Literally, normally you just find it'd be flat, wouldn't it? They're like quite three-dimensional. The actual lion is—he's got his head popping out, and the unicorn's got his spikes sticking out. So it really is wonderful to see. Touch the stone there. Look at this Roman column, this beautiful cylindrical Roman column. I was in all my glory there today. Look at the little front doors. Yes, they do exist. You can get up there. Look up at the base of the columns, and look at the ornate work. Just look at that, you know, the mythology that's here. We're talking Rome, aren't we? We're talking Greece. That's what we're trying to do, isn't it? We're building a triumphal arch we are to celebrate. And there's nothing better if you actually manage to be in London when you see our mounted divisions of the Household Cavalry trotting through that centre arch. It's mm-hmm. just fantastic.
It nothing certainly is, better. Yep.
And if you're lucky enough to be on the roof of that, at the same time, you really are in for a treat. You've got the doors there, tells you the prices. Remember, Talk the Walk's free. Look, you got a neck, you can tilt it back, you got telephoto lenses. It's amazing what you can do, and you know what you can see. Even if you look, bring a set of binoculars, if you know, whatever. But just
and from one
up,
of the most busiest
up.
Parts in London, this is one of the most serene, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, because obviously it's gyrating, it's not the busiest time with traffic, but what was interesting tonight was traffic was moving quite reasonable speed, yet I could hear myself think.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really funny then was people were seeing I was doing something and was asking me stuff, so I'm then just like, look up, just look yourself, what do you see? Don't ask me, what do you see? You see flowers, you see roses, you see leaves, you see whatever you want to see, and that's the beauty of it. You don't have to know all the exact words, the frilly bits,
yep.
dandy bits, whether it's an Agatha's leave or whatever. You see what you want to see. Just if you just see a little pattern, the idea that someone's knocked that out with an hammer and chisel. It
yep.
wasn't moulded like we do today. It wasn't cast in plaster. This is someone's done this with a hammer and chisel. You know, that's quite amazing to think
yeah.
someone's done that.
They've wonderful craftsmanship, yeah.
It is complete and utter craftsmanship. I mean, I walked through the archway and then, you know, see, it's a weird view. I've never seen Constitution Hill from that position. I'm walking through the arch and I can see it dead in front of me, and you think, oh my God, all those cabs.
Yeah.
It's like, no. and then you just see all the sight. It's like, hang on, they're coming towards me. And they are, they're half a little past you.
But I mean, this is one of the most beautifully planned yeah. parts of London, isn't it?
Completely. Anyway, you get through it, couple of bollards on the left-hand side, couple of lovely ornate lamps, then you'll see it's the monument to New Zealand. It is, and
yep.
it's that the one with the crosses that light up at night. The crosses do on effectively iron girders, all at different levels, all sort of like in line. It tells you a little bit about the links between New Zealand and Britain. Talks in their language as well, Maori, doesn't it? Gives their, you know, in their language. But it's like and has little things about Kiwi, the rugby, and it just tells you a bit about them. But the commonality, the links we've got between the two great nations on two opposite ends of the globe. One, but I didn't mention, we also have the other wonderful memorial, which is to the Australian
Armed
Services,
yeah.
to their military, to
brilliant
their
piece of design, that, isn't it?
And the way everything's carved into the stone, and then you see the bigger battles then taking place,
yeah.
where people have died and come from. So it talks about Gallipoli, you know, it talks about all the places that they have fought, because obviously part of an empire, part of a Commonwealth, and they're in Afghanistan now, I mean, Australian forces. And then we come to a monument to First World War machine gunners, which is back literally to where the exit was, where we come up. And it shows a picture of a naked David with a sword. And it says a bit about David and Saul, how many more people David slayed. And then either side, it's got laurel wreaths, but they're sitting on First World War machine gun turrets. So they're First World War machine guns. You've got this naked man there with a sword, and then there's the reefs representing the dead. And
that's another absolutely.
Yeah, it's a work of art. Yeah. But when you drive a cab, you only ever see the back end of him. You don't, you have to be on the inside of our bike corner to realise it's a machine gun. So you have to get in here and walk around, and you've got now probably, if we're lucky, about another 3 weeks of reasonable weather, 4 weeks of, 5 weeks of reasonable sunlight, you know, to a reasonable evening. You know, if you live out west, if you're travelling from the west to east, stop off at Hyde Park Corner, just take a walk around.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait until it's pouring, because I actually like going to see things in the pouring rain sometimes, John. And I think that the Howitzer Memorial would have special significance in the pouring rain, because I know that at any point I can get back undercover and stuff, and I can get home and have a nice bath. And these are blokes that have probably been out for 2 or 3 weeks without even seeing a drop of hot water, without actually taking their trousers off.
No, that's right. You go to the toilet where you stand.
Yeah.
People don't realise that.
Yeah. You know, I haven't taken my shoes and socks off for 4 weeks.
Yeah. I've been on Out of Bounds once, and we slept out rough for 2 nights. And it's amazing how good a shower feels after 2 nights, like sleeping in your combat trousers.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, Jesus, you know, it's like a bar of, it could have been a Brillo pad you was using, it would have been fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have just been great. But a bar of carbolic soap, it would have been wonderful. But that's how rough, and you think people do this for a living, for what, under minimum wage?
Yeah.
You know, when they're on combat. But we've revisited this. One, it's summer. Two, it is special. Three, you've just, even if you just appreciate Wellington's arch, just look at that winged angel, just look how beautiful she is, you know, and just look at the horses, how they've been pulled back. And sometimes maybe that's what we need to do before we say let's go to war. Maybe we just need to pull back a bit.
Do you know
all
what
of us, what we do, fix things that are silly and say things, even we should just pull back and think maybe.
And what did, Churchill say?
George
is better than War.
Keep talking.
John, as ever, it's a pleasure to have you on. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Right, okay, now then, you know that the EMI are listening. This could get us a record deal. Are you ready then?
In Northern Ireland.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. Now, but do you think it should be John the Cabby and Big George, or Big George and John the Cabby? Which way should it go?
Big George, John the Cabby.
No, I'll go with that one. Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. Is it like Blackpool Illuminations out there, John?
It's the night.
Is there loads of those yellow lights out there?
They're everywhere.
It's a good job you're on here doing
exactly
talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. Thank you very much indeed. That's John Kennedy doing our Talk the Walk, and that's available on freelondonevents.co.uk.
This is BBC London 94.9.